are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! Detroit basketball!
That's right, two from Mason today. And what is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November 26th, two in a row for the Detroit Pistons, and 6 of 8. We play Mason's Detroit basketball after every win. So we're keeping him busy and using up our Mason budget early on here in the season. But this is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and thanks for spreading the word over Thanksgiving weekend like I know you guys did with the family and friends. Really appreciate that and all you guys do for us. But give me a follow, by the way, on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check out the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook as well. Appreciate that. Today, we're going to be talking about Sunday's big win. I guess they're all big in an 82-game season, but a win anyway against the Phoenix Suns, and touch on Friday's even bigger overtime win against the Houston Rockets for the Pistons. We're also going to talk about an old issue that reared its ugly, ugly head on Sunday for Pistons fans, and we're also later on going to hear from Coach Dwayne Casey. He had some things Friday night to say in the postgame that really demonstrated to me that he gets it, and you can also see why he's been successful building cultures in other stops. We will get to his sound bites a little bit later. As we mentioned, though, the Pistons got the win on Sunday afternoon at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The Pistons 118-107 against the Phoenix Suns, the young Phoenix Suns, who topped Milwaukee on Friday night. The Pistons are now 10-7, currently the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. So the goal that Blake Griffin had set out of getting the Eastern Conference first-round home matchup, it's true right now, although just percentage points ahead of the Indiana Pacers for the fifth spot in the East right now. 19 points apiece on Sunday for Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, including 16 rebounds for Andre Drummond. Jackson's night came on 6 of 20 shooting, including 4 of 15 from three-point range. Yikes. I don't know why or how that number escalated to so many three-point shots, especially when Jackson's clearly not one of the best shooters on the team and someone who's been struggling from deep lately. But 15 points off the bench from Langston Galloway, who has not been struggling from deep lately. Blake Griffin had 16 points and 11 assists. The first time this season that a Piston had double-digit assist totals, so we can stop throwing out some of the numbers I like to throw out about the problems that this team has assisting. And as a team, 30 on Sunday in the win, the second most this season, and most this season, number one in a game for the Pistons that ended in regulation. So good job by you, Pistons, on offense right there. For Phoenix, 37 points for Devin Booker of Grand Rapids. Maybe you've heard he's from Grand Rapids. 25 points for DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick of the draft out of Arizona from the Bahamas. A couple of studs there that the Phoenix did definitely not miss out on in the drafts over the past 4 or 5 years. Josh Jackson, however, his struggles continued. Not looking really comfortable out there this season, the Detroiter. I wasn't high on him going into the draft last year out of Kansas. We will see how this pans out for him. Really showed some flashes at the end of his rookie season with some big-time numbers, but hasn't been able to get that kickstarted into year two so far. But Booker, man, just dominated most of the game offensively. But ironically, it was Stanley Johnson, the guy who, of course, Pistons fans in retrospect would rather have Booker over Johnson, but it was the one who the Pistons fans have instead of maybe the one they want who helped slow down Booker late. And it was nice to see for Pistons fans who want to see their return on investment get a little bit higher on Stanley Johnson over this next part of his career. Stanley also had 14 points and 4 rebounds, by the way, still getting more minutes than Glenn Robinson III, despite Robinson getting the starting nod as of late. And that's probably how it's going to go, and doesn't seem to be that unusual that Robinson is maybe better off in the starting lineup in terms of an offensive and defensive fit. But if Stanley Johnson's playing well enough offensively to have him in there late in games when you really need to get a stopper on some of those good perimeter players such as the Devin Bookers of the world, maybe it's a good idea, especially late in the game when a guy might be a little bit more susceptible to being tired on defense, the stronger. And Stanley Johnson, who has played less minutes up to that point in that game, might be a better option for late in the game as opposed to early. 12 points, by the way, by veteran Jamal Crawford off the bench, passing 19,000 for his career, the 56th player all time to get that mark, the former Michigan Wolverine. I know that he's been super inefficient throughout his career many times, many games, many seasons, really, and has had a lot, and I mean a lot, of bad games over the years, but I haven't seen many in games that I've watched. I know he was in the West Coast for a lot of his career, but for games that I've watched, Jamal Crawford seems to always play pretty well, and I've probably seen, you know, what amounts to an all-NBA season of 82 games from Crawford through watching and covering him throughout my career and my life. And so I just have really enjoyed watching the now 38-year-old Jamal Crawford, a guy who earns his reputation as a gunner, but also earns his right to gun as far as knocking down a lot of these shots in short order off the bench a lot of times with second units, but has scored on a lot of good players throughout his career as well. Just I love a gunner. I love a guy gotten off the bench. The Langston Galloway is a lot like that for the Pistons these days, but fun to watch Jamal Crawford with the quick release and not afraid. Never seen a shot he wouldn't like, and I appreciate that. The Suns fall to 4-14. I really also enjoyed TJ Warren, who missed a jumper early on from like 6 feet wide open, and then he missed a fast break layup as well, and then he missed like an alley-oop, I believe, another three real easy shots in the first quarter, and then one more bad play, and I was going to come out with like a TJ Warren shaving points tweet like I did for Jared Dudley in the first game of the season, but I didn't have time because he went on a drive early in the second quarter on Blake Griffin, who probably fouled him, but they called an off-arm foul on Warren instead. Again, like I said, probably the wrong call was made, but you could definitely see where the refs are coming from. Not one of those fouls that's going to get you to blow up unless you're frustrated with the fact that you've been missing easy shots all game so far. So he got teed up once, but then he kept going at the officials apparently and got the second one, got tossed. Just great stuff from TJ Warren. Again, that's how you go 4-14 if you're the Phoenix Suns. He must have been maybe out enjoying himself in downtown Detroit on Saturday night, needed to get to the showers early, but a nice rare matinee win for the Pistons on Sunday afternoon. And like we said, on Friday, the Pistons also won, getting the split with the Houston Rockets in the back-to-back there. The home and home. I get the home and home and back-to-back screwed up sometimes. This was a home and home series with the Houston Rockets, 116-111 in overtime. Blake Griffin had 28 points. Andre Drummond had 23 points and 20 rebounds. His sixth game with at least 20 points and 20 rebounds this season, a remarkable number already as we just passed Thanksgiving. 22 points for Reggie Jackson, including 10 points in overtime and 19 points when you add the fourth quarter and overtime together. And not just that, but deep into the fourth quarter, the second half of the fourth quarter in overtime, he had all those big buckets for the Pistons in overtime. Kind of found his niche there as a guy who was maybe fading in the background for the first three and a half quarters, but really stepped up when it was winning time, like we've seen many times from Reggie Jackson in the glory days these last couple years. So it was nice to see him get some good moments again, even though Blake Griffin is obviously the go-to guy in the clutch these days. But some great atmosphere for the Pistons on Friday night at Little Caesars Arena. Blake had what looked to be the game-winning three-pointer with 2.6 seconds left, but Eric Gordon caught the inbound on a nicely drawn-up play from Mike D'Antoni and went to the basket for the layup to tie it up, forcing overtime. I had a real bad feeling going to that overtime. I was sitting courtside for the Detroit News, but Blake Griffin had a couple big baskets early, and then Reggie Jackson made all the free throws, and just a really nice win for the Pistons. I might be a little bit of a good luck charm for drama at Little Caesars Arena, by the way. I was covering the Philly overtime game for AP earlier this season, and again, I was there on Friday night for the Detroit News. So I will be there on Tuesday and Friday of this week for the news as well, which might be some more drama for Pistons fans because of my presence, although you might hope not, given the opponents that the Pistons are able to maybe handle business a little bit earlier than going to overtime and having to hit all these big shots against the lowly Knicks on Tuesday with Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. coming to town from the University of Michigan. Also, the dreadful Chicago Bulls on Friday, the team pulling up the rear. Well, not pulling up the rear, that'd be the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the second team pulling up the rear in the Central Division in the Eastern Conference. But those two are followed up by the Golden State Warriors in the second half of a back-to-back, got that correct, on Saturday night on December 1st, which starts a tough stretch of games in the first part of December, which then moves on to a Oklahoma City game at home, again ending this long homestand a week from today, so a week from Monday night, December 3rd will be that one. Looking at those four games, Knicks, Bulls, Golden State, Oklahoma City. If you can go 3-1 for the rest of that homestand, that sounds pretty good to me, and we will see if the Pistons can handle business. But up next, we got to talk about it. Hackadray reared its ugly head. I was surprised by what Dwayne Casey did about it. We're going to talk about that next. But if your company looking for a new way to reach customers, your company could be mentioned right now, right here on the Locked On Pistons broadcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their podcast. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company go ahead and sponsor this great podcast. Email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to hear from Dwayne Casey from Friday night with what I thought were some encouraging remarks if you're a fan of the Detroit Pistons. But first, Andre Drummond. We got the Hackadray treatment for the first time in Coach Casey's tenure on Sunday afternoon against the Phoenix Suns. And to be honest, I was surprised by the way the coach handled it. Just to set the scene here, Drummond, with 5 minutes and 26 seconds left in the game, the Pistons up by 12 at this point. Drummond was fouled by DeAndre Ayton, and the Hackadray was on for Igor Koskakov's team, down 12, like I said at this point. Hacks him the first time. Dre goes 0-for-2 from the line. I believe he airballed the first one, by the way. Devin Booker comes down and makes a 3. Phoenix hacks again. Andre Drummond splits the pair this time, and then Reggie Jackson gets the steal in the backcourt and finds Reggie Bullock for a fast break layup. Devin Booker misses the 3 on the other end. I'm sorry, makes a 3 on the other end again. And then it's Hackadray one more time. That time, Andre Drummond missed them both. So the Phoenix Suns at that point had it down to 9 points with the ball. Trevor Ariza gets called for a travel on a play that I thought would be a 3-point foul on Blake Griffin. But apparently Ariza shuffled his feet before then and was called for the traveling violation. Could have easily been a 6-point game at that point if Ariza gets those foul shots. And like I said, again, instead of turnover, instead, Pistons call timeout after that, and it was decision time. What do you do at that point if you're Dwayne Casey? I thought Casey would keep him in, kind of teach him the hard lesson, let him make a few, get over it. Instead, he yanks him and gets him out of the game. During that span where they were doing the Hackadray, the Suns netted a +3 during that time. So, you know, it worked if you're looking at the numbers. But from there, after Andre Drummond gets out of the game, it was the Blake Griffin show after that, and the game was pretty much over. Now, Drummond, we know about his struggles, 38.1% from the free throw line coming into last season for his career. Had the Hackadray throughout his entire career up until last year, and maybe even the first third of last year before he kind of proved that he's maybe over that somewhat, to the point where he's not such an easy mark for that kind of strategy. Andre Drummond drastically improved his free throw shooting at last year to the tune of about 22%, shooting 60.5% from the line last year. Now this year, the form looks the same, so still looks pretty good. But down a little bit from last year. Before going into Sunday's game, Dre was shooting 54.7% from the line. So down almost 6 whole percentage points from last year. And then again, 1-for-8 from the line on Sunday, including the 1-for-6 during the Hackadray time. So his percentage for the season is all the way down to 51%. Right now, 51.0%. But an encouraging sign after the game to see Andre Drummond shooting the free throws on the court during the Fox Sports Detroit post-game show. It was kind of a funny scene. The kids were all, they line up to shoot free throws after the game, and they were waiting to shoot, but Andre Drummond was doing his post-game routine on the court with assistant coach Sean Sweeney and maybe some others as well. Although, interestingly, as pointed out by Mickey York and Grant Long in the post-game, if you zoom out on the camera angle, it was shown that Andre Drummond was shooting from a good foot and a half or so inside of the free throw line when he was doing his post-game routine, just maybe working on that touch, working on the stroke and the feel instead of actually the simulation of an in-game free throw. I don't think I've ever really seen that, but I hope to ask him about that when I'm at practice tomorrow, why that distance and what's up with that. So, but Dwayne Casey, the coach of the Pistons, a no-nonsense guy, as we know, inclination was that that meant he'd force him to do it during the game, force him to get over it. But he trumped maybe that left bower of no-nonsense-ness with the right bower of no-nonsense action, which is let's not mess around, let's get the W. We're still up 9, about 4-plus minutes to go. Didn't really need Andreas Drummond's rebounding at that point against the Phoenix Suns. So yank him out and move on to fight another day. Just another subplot to keep an eye on with this team going forward. Hope to get some thoughts from Andre Drummond and Dwayne Casey at practice about the Hackadre, and maybe we'll get that as the article that we put together from practice tomorrow. And by the way, I also wanted to point out as we're talking about articles, Reggie Bullock from Sunday's Detroit Free Press in print and also online. Vince Ellis had a great story from Reggie Bullock about his sister who was killed many years back, a couple years before he joined the Detroit Pistons, and just the ordeal that Reggie has gone through that. And Reggie actually didn't comment directly for that article, but he's talked about in the past, had the Players Tribune article over the offseason as well, and participated in the NBA parade for LGBTQ rights as well. So wanted to pass along. That's definitely worth a read. We'll be talking about that a little bit more in a future episode on the podcast, but just an interesting article, enlightening article from Vince Ellis of the Detroit Free Press. So hats off to Vince for putting that one together. You know, those stories take a long time as he's doing his regular day-to-day beat work. So to put together a nice Sunday feature like that, you know, kudos to Vince for that. But the Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Go ahead and follow the accounts on both platforms at Locked On NBA Net. All great stuff during games for the Twitter account and also on Instagram. Just clips and highlights from the shows. And I appreciate you guys giving them the follows on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. But up next, we're going to hear from Dwayne Casey from Friday Night's Win. That is next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Wanted to pass along some of the audio from Dwayne Casey's post-game press conference on Friday after the dramatic 116-111 overtime win against the Houston Rockets. Just some great culture type of stuff, some things that I think fans will be happy to hear. I don't know how many of you guys watch the press conferences, but I'm lucky enough to be able to be in them when I'm covering games, and I just wanted to share. Here's Dwayne Casey, got some of the comments spliced together from a longer set of question and answering, but some relevant stuff that I thought you guys might want to hear. Here's Coach Casey from Friday night.
So our whole philosophy, goal, charge, everything else is consistency, consistent focus, consistent discipline in everything we do, consistent effort, and whatever it is, disposition, we got to have it. If we are serious about, you know, being a winning, getting back to being a winning program and a championship level program again, as long as we all are disciplined. You know, there's a level of discipline, decisions, shot selections, defensive discipline. All those things are all of us, you know, whether it's Reggie Jackson, you know, I'm looking more of a team type concept, more so than this player hot here, this guy's hot here. You know, what can you bring to the table as a team? Because teams win in this league. It's not, you know, you may have one star, but all those guys around him better be tied in and roped in and work as a team. And they have that team-type chemistry.
Dwayne, the building got pretty loud tonight. Did you get a sense that these guys fed off that a little bit?
I really did. That was great. We need that. We need, because all these hot gyms in Toronto and Houston, these are packed gyms. You guys have been there hot. And this gym here, I know these fans here are just waiting to have a rocking arena. We got to give them something to get excited about. They're not just going to come pay their hard-earned money to hang out and watch us, you know, not give 100%. But we're getting to where our fans are going to respect us, respect what we put on the floor, but we got to go out and earn it. They're not going to do it just because we say, hey, come watch us play. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. But, you know, I've been in that situation before. It's coming. It's growing, but it's not going to just because we flip a switch or beat Houston one night. It's growing, and it's I hate to use the word, but it's a process.
And there is Coach Dwayne Casey from Friday night after the emotional and energized victory in overtime on Friday night against the Houston Rockets. Like I said, I will be at practice on Monday. I'm looking to maybe write about the Andre Drummond Hackadre, you know, beliefs and strategies in terms of what Dwayne Casey does, Andre Drummond, why he's shooting a foot or so in front of the line, and just some of the other things that play into the Hackadre decision, which is a new one. As far as I know, I'll research if he's ever had a poor free throw shooter like that in his past that he's had to make these kind of decisions and considerations with in the future. Or maybe if he's been a guy who's been a Hackadre or Hack-a-Shack type of coach in his strategy when working on the other side as well. We will talk to him about that. But a lot coming up for the rest of the week. We got the Tuesday game against the New York Knicks, Friday against the Chicago Bulls. I'll be at both of those, Saturday against the Golden State Warriors. But the Pistons are 10-7 with a really big chance to go 12-7 heading into a important stretch in the early part of December. We know about the beasts that are coming up, particularly with the Golden State Warriors, but continues on after that. Just a tough stretch of games. So the Pistons, you want to bank some wins, get as far ahead of 500 as you can possibly get before that stretch comes, because we know it's going to be a tough one. But this is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Want to thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Dwayne Casey for some of the comments from the press conference on Friday. And we will talk to you guys later with another episode tomorrow here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.